This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 23rd, episode 1575, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, Santa, what's shaking, man?
Dancing through the snow.
By the way, congratulate me this Christmas. I'm going for it. No antidepressants.
Somebody ought to teach that little humbug some Christmas spirit.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Jamie is here, but Jennifer is not. Coach Jen, my lovely wife, is off riding with friends. She's got the trailer hooked up now, and she's heading off with guest wrangler Denise, and they're going out to the Florida Greenway to go riding this morning. And it was so funny. Yesterday, Denise said, well, you know, we're going riding tomorrow, and Jennifer had this look like, I gotta work. And I said, you can go riding. Jamie and I will figure it out. We'll do it ourselves.
Did she get that like basset hound lucky face? Yes, she did, actually.
The ears drooping.
See, that's the crap thing is like all of us horse chicks have friends that go riding on Wednesday morning. And what do? We freaking call in sick. We're like, I'm so sick. I can't possibly go. And then what happens inevitably is somebody posts a picture on Facebook of you on a trail ride and then you get in trouble.
Right, exactly. Because people love to post pictures of trail rides.
I know. Yeah. So that's the way most people do it. So Jennifer's just not that lucky. So you're good husband to let her bail out.
Well, you know, she deserved it. We've been working pretty hard the last couple of weeks. And I can't tell you, when's the last time Jennifer took a day off? I don't know.
You're kind of the wussy one in the family.
Yeah, I'm the one that always ends up sick and taking real sick and taking days off. But no, we hope she has fun this morning. I'm sure she will. This will only be the second time that Nigel's out for a trail ride by himself without his training wheel scooter along. So.
Oh, this is good then.
So it'll be good.
Scooter practice. Hates him anyway. They kick each other anyway. So he's probably happy to be away from that darn pony.
And we'll see how loading goes because she's only ever loaded him once by herself. So we're going to see how that goes too. But she did the Monty Roberts training. So hopefully it stuck and he remembers.
He'll remember. He'll be amazing.
Well, on today's show, what do we got coming up? We have us on today's show.
You had all sorts of stuff planned. You sent me an email yesterday. Jennifer's going riding. So we're going to do this, 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 and this. What are those things? Because I didn't really read your email. I never really do.
Well, we're supposed to have company in the studio this morning, but she hasn't shown up yet either. I think she's with Jennifer. So if she shows up, we'll chat with her for a little bit. But if not, I do have something planned. This goes way back. I mean, before most people who are listening right now were listening. We used to do the segment with thehorse.com, the horse health segment on Wednesdays, and I did not realize that started the day we started the show. They were on from the first week we were doing that segment with them, and Christy West, who longtime listeners will remember, who now is a professional skydiver. Yes, that's what she does for a living. She's a marketer for a skydiving place. She was the one that came on from thehorse.com, and then Dr. Jones used to come on, and I miss Dr. Jones, by the way. Dr. Jones used to come on every week and do these segments, and you'll remember this one. Do you remember the one we did about the weirdest things horses have eaten, and Dr. Jones was telling us all those stories?
She's like the most entertaining veterinarian on the planet. So I don't remember it. I remember the segment. I don't remember what she said. So it's like listening for the first time.
It is. And that was back from episode 8. So, you know.
Episode 8? Yes. Oh, it's going to be terrible.
November of 2010. I cleaned up the sound as best I could.
We had no idea what we were doing back then.
It was so funny because at the beginning of the interview, I asked her, I said, Christy, are you here? Because I had no idea which buttons I was pushing. So. So
hello, are we on the air? That's our show.
That's right.
What are we doing now?
I can't remember. I don't know. I just pushed the wrong button, but we still do that. I mean, that hasn't changed in all these years.
No, you're still blessed with the button pushing.
That's right. I still have the button pushing, but our sound is much better. So when you listen to that segment, I actually put it together for today because it was so funny. When you listen to that segment, you're going to appreciate, you're going to be so thankful this day before Thanksgiving how good our sound is now.
I never used to tell anybody I did a podcast because it sounded like we're in AM the radio. Other room on AM radio. Like
bad AM radio.
AM's in here and we were in there.
AM radio like when you're driving and your car, you're getting far enough away from the station, it starts to go
yes, that's exactly it. So hopefully you clean this up a little bit, it'll sound good. But yes, that's how the show started, and fortunately we got rid of that terrible server that we had.
Yes, and now it's better, but we'll have that for you. And then also Victoria's supposed to be here. She hasn't been around the last couple of weeks, so Victoria will be stopping by with the European report from Horse and Country TV. Plus we asked the auditors this morning what they were thankful for, and we're going to read some of those to you because there's some cool ones of those as well. So
yeah, we did that at my family Thanksgiving 1 year, and I think it took for the first person in the circle to start saying what they were thankful for before all the women were crying. And and at that point, we were like, we're never doing this again. My mama and her two sisters, and then me and my girl cut. We were all like, oh my God, I love you guys so much. Yeah, done. No more. So I've written what I'm thankful for, and I'm hoping to get through it without crying.
Oh, geez. Was I supposed to write something?
You should probably write. You know what? We know what you're thankful for.
Oh, yeah.
For.
I'm
you're
thankful for all of you. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's all good.
You're thankful to be here.
So you don't have to cry in mine. It's fine.
No crying.
No crying. All right, let's do some daily winnies. Oh, and guess what my daily winnie is? I didn't even think about that. All right, here we go. I'm not feeling very emotional today, so I'll be fine. My daily winnie, it's just a thanks to our HRN family. You know, it's been such a fun ride, and we've had such a good time doing this, and this is how close we've become. On Monday, we had lovely Gail on, who did the Horses in History segment. She's so sweet, and she knows her stuff, and it was just a fun segment. You liked it, right? It was a
yes.
fun. She was so sweet.
I love her.
Well, she contacted Denise, our guest wrangler, after the show, wanting to know if we were husband and wife, you and I.
I'm sorry, I just choked. What?
I guess we've been together long enough that we seem like we're husband and wife.
I need to go cleanse.
So, sweetie, it's your turn for a daily Winnie.
Thanks, Schmoopy. And the irony continues because my daily Winnie is actually going to go out to my real husband.
Oh, the fighter pilot cool one.
Cool one. The cool one who rode for the first time, and he's been chomping at the bit ever since I got him. He rode Thor for the first time last night.
Oh, wow.
It was monumental. Thor has been really, really, really good. You know, I mean, I got to give Monty Roberts all the credit. I followed up with the homework, but he definitely helped me fix this horse. He was a runaway. And I've been riding him, and he's just so light and supple and perfect. And so I had a neighbor come over and ride him last night. And I said, do you want to get on him? He's like, really? I'm like, get your helmet. So he came out. And so I wanted to simulate riding lessons with Thor because I'd like to use him as a lesson horse, which blows my mind that he'd ever be able to do that. And this is a Thor story, Glenn. You should have the music, right? Sorry. I didn't let you know. So he got on him, and Thor has a very giant, like warm blood walk, just struts, you know, blah. And after he got off, he gets on and he's, you know, falls backwards, pulls him in the mouth, and leans forward and like squeezes him, and then falls backwards, pulls him in the mouth. The best. So it did. It was, it did not go very well from the rider perspective, but from the trainer solely watching the horse, Thor did great. He did great. He was on a lunch line, of course. So he was fantastic. And then at the end, I let him kind of walk him around a little bit. I did let him trot on the lunch line, and, you know, he's posting and kind of everywhere. But he was acting all kind of cocky, like, I got this. Later that night, he told me last night, he goes, that's the first time I've ever been really insecure on a horse. I mean, he only rides Duke, right? Like, who's the steadiest, most awesome horse ever.
Yeah, I mean, so Duke, I don't know that you can even count Duke. He's like a...
Yeah, you rode Duke.
Yeah, I rode Duke.
So he goes, I just felt like there was so much like side to side, and he was just moving. I'm like, because he walks like a panther, you know, he just like has that big lateral walk. And he was like, that's the first time I've ever felt that. I was like, that's, and he goes, it look, this is, I wish I would have recorded this. He goes, it just looks so easy when you do it. I was like, yes, my first ever compliment riding. Just looks easy when you do it. Yay! Yes, you're right. Because I've worked on it.
That's
for
the way
30
it's
years.
To
You've
be,
done
dear.
It 4 times. You've done it maybe 7 times. Like really ridden a horse. So it should be easier for me. But anyway, I was really proud of him for getting on and for doing it. And I think we're going to have to try it again here maybe today if he's not too sore.
That might,
Thor,
that might
I
change.
Mean.
Oh, I thought you meant Thor.
I did.
Well, you know, his interview is coming up on Monday. Your husband's, that is. Chad's interview is coming up on Monday. And I'm really kicking myself because I missed the most important question.
Oh, what was it?
I am so kicking myself. I really am. I hung up and I went, oh, crap. I wanted to ask him if he's having burgers and steaks at every airport he lands at. And I didn't ask him that.
Oh, too bad.
Because you know what the answer is.
All right. I know what the answer is because I bought him a healthy meal replacement that he actually likes. So he has a chocolate shake that's seeds and healthy things, and he actually really likes it. So he's only
eating. I hope it's better than the chocolate shake I have to drink. It's awful.
This one's really good, Soul. Anyway, he actually probably eats half meal replacement. Half burgers.
It's so funny. I can't believe me, of all people, forgot to ask him that question.
Because last night we had potato and kale pierogies. It was delicious.
Oh, yeah. That sounds great. The potatoes sound good. So let's, why don't you read, you have to read Kristen. And as I said, what we did is we asked our listeners if they would provide us with things they're thankful for this Thanksgiving, and no politics. No politics allowed.
I'm really thankful that the election's over.
Yes. There you go. That one's allowed. So Kristen sent in the following, and you're going to read it for us.
Okay. Kristen Bentley. 5 Thanksgivings ago, well, Black Friday, but who's counting? A hardworking student of mine and I were prepping the barn's draft horse team for wagon rides and a Santa parade. It was an awful day. The town that seemed to be populated entirely by bratty, rude children, the parade coordinator treated us like servants, and Santa himself was frankly a jerk. The drafts were amazing. They put up with busy Black Friday traffic, endless hours toting people on rides, and then a truly terrifying parade experience, which ended in a wall of shrieking children who all wanted to see Santa, who promptly fell down in our wagon and swore at us a lot. As awful as the day was, my student and I laughed and laughed on the way home and showed up again the next year to put ourselves through the worst Thanksgiving ever, all over again. She was a trooper. 5 years later, that student is now my sister-in-law. The draft horse team is retired in my own pasture. We didn't know where life would take all of us then, but I'm incredibly thankful that we are all together again and that my family-in-law has welcomed me and my horse collection into their lives with open arms.
Oh, isn't that cool? Aww,
that's great.
That is great. It just shows you that you never know what direction life is going to go.
It's true.
But you could just picture that day, can't you, with the mad Santa and
I did a Christmas parade once. Oh, never again. Never again.
Well, everybody knows the story of when Wendy and I and Jennifer and Kyle tried to do a parade together. It didn't go well.
it's because it's a parade. Those people talk about the Rose Parade. I'm like, God bless you.
When you're in a carriage and the lead horse starts rearing and heading toward the children and they're all screaming and running, that's not a good parade.
Get your kids out of the way.
We bailed
Honey, get
out.
The kids.
We were like, okay, there's a side road up here, and there were people all lined along the side road. And I forget, one of the people on the carriage got out and said, you people better move. And they all scattered, and we went flying down that side road. Yeah, we never did a parade after that.
Honey, please don't hit the children. Please don't hit the children.
We were almost one of those news stories. Three people run over by crazy horses.
That news story that we would do. That's a news story.
And you know what? We had Horse Radio Network banners plastered all over the carriage. And as this was going south, I said, Jennifer, take those banners down quick. Hey, I have a big announcement, if you want it. Equestrian Collections, every year we do a gift guide. We do one episode of the Stable Scoop Show. This is our eighth year doing it. And Chris from Equestrian Collections, who is the founder, always does it with us. And we have a lot of fun, Helena and Chris and I, chatting about the products and the ideas that we have for everybody to buy for holiday gifts. Well, yesterday, Chris announced that we didn't know this. She said, well, you know, all of these things we're talking about today, she said, we're going to give them all away to your listeners. So in addition to the $4,200 worth of stuff we're now giving away on Cyber Monday, next Monday for the Radiothon, Equestrian Collections is donating these prizes that you can sign up and win. You just sign up and pick which ones you want to win, and you have a chance of winning them. And I'm talking, there's some expensive, nice stuff on here. Ovation Cameron Country Boots. Defender Helmet. What are they? With the Savorsky Crystals. They're like $300, $400.
Unbelievable.
Breyer Deluxe Barn. That's almost $200 for the. And by the way, your Breyers need a barn. Because
I was just thinking that Zenyatta and Black Caviar, Secretariat, Forgo.
Need a barn.
An old timer need that barn.
Yeah, they're all out there in the field. They're getting cold.
Cigar would really like to come in. Barbaro is like freezing to death. We need the barn.
How about a Weatherbeta Comfortech standard neck medium blanket? We have clothing. We have three sets of luggage, the Shire's luggage with little doggy prints on them that are so cute.
So cute.
The Baker plaid tall boots, which I think are really cool. And just a whole bunch of stuff that they just announced yesterday that they're giving away. And anybody can go. You can go over to equestriancollections.com/HRN for Horse Radio Network. EquestrianCollections.com/HRN. And when you get there, you'll see the items at the top banner on the page. You click on that, go sign up. And on the, I think it's the 15th of December, they're going to pick a winner for every one of the items. So,
I want the Baker boots.
Aren't they cool?
Along with like a Baker like quarter Baker sheet. Boots. Oh, God, they're awesome. Are you kidding me? I'd feel cool. So fancy.
You would look like you're high end for the first time in your life.
Yeah, exactly. I'm fancy.
I really like the Cameron boots too with the buckles. They're kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then you got the helmet with the Savorsky crystals too, the one case. So you have.
I'm
going
to sign up.
Stuff.
That's my first choice to be the helmet.
Well, you know,
because when would you ever get to own a helmet that nice?
You know, she said that Helena couldn't sign up because Helena's on the Stable Scoop Show, but you're not on the Stable Scoop Show.
Can I sign up?
I would sign up. Why not? Give it a try. Most they could say is no, right?
All right.
You could donate it to charity if you win and you feel bad, but I doubt that's going to happen. I mean,
Why would I feel bad?
That's what I was just going to say. I doubt the feel bad part's going to happen.
I donate to charity a lot, so I wouldn't feel bad.
So equestriancollections.com/HRN, and thank you to them. That brings our total up to over $5,500 worth of stuff we're giving away over the next couple of weeks. I don't know any other podcast that's given away $5,500 worth of stuff, people.
No.
I don't think there's any. So,
They're just trying to eat.
Yeah, exactly. They're all just trying to pay the bill. So thank you to our sponsors. It's all thanks to our sponsors.
We have incredible sponsors.
Stephanie Eileen wrote this. And, of course, Stephanie just bought a place down in North Carolina, not too far from Tryon, where they're going to be doing the WAG. And she now lives in New York City. She said, this year, in addition to the obligatory family, friends, health, and job, I am most thankful that I feel as though I finally found my happy place. I felt all my life like something was missing, and since I started riding a year and a half ago, I no longer feel that void. I'm also thankful that I'm able to take this equine massage course from such an amazing teacher. The rewards are incalculable. And last but not least, I am also thankful and happy to have you guys, HRN hosts and auditors. It's strange, but I do feel as though you are friends, and I love the safe, happy, and supportive circle we are in. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you all. So that's so nice, Stephanie. We appreciate all of you guys as well. We've had a couple new auditors sign up in the last couple of days, probably since my announcement on Monday, that there will be a chat room going or a chat thread going in the auditors room, private Facebook page on Monday all day during Radiothon, so you can all talk to each other and have a good time. They've done that before, and it's been a lot of fun. So if you want to be part of that, you have to become an auditor. Head over to horsesinthemorning.com and click on the auditor banner for as little as $1 a month. Now, you have the next one here. You always get the good stuff.
I do. Well, you want me to say what I'm thankful for?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you posted on there to one thing you're thankful for, and nobody listens to you.
No,
so lots of people put lots of stuff. So I just wanted to start out by saying that I'm very thankful for many things. My happy and healthy family, a wonderful kid, and an incredible husband. The lifestyle of having my horses in the backyard. I'm thankful for the opportunity to ride my Mustangs daily. And the many times now that I've gone to Flag Is Up Farms to train with Monty, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for my incredible, against all odds, job that nobody thought would last more than a week. Here we are, 1,500 episodes in. We have that because of our sponsors. Thankful for them and our listeners every day, people that listen all the time. And even though I'm convinced, Glenn, that it's just you and me, I'm convinced there's nobody listening.
It does seem that way sometimes.
Yeah. And I'm so thankful for the incredible auditors that have become, you know, friends. So it's really cool. So I'm really thankful for all of those. And I'm also very, very thankful for the message. I just wanted to let you guys know that this is probably my last episode because I just got a message on Skype and it says, "Hello, Jennings. I am Ahmad Al-Ablani, General Manager and Group Human Resources at National Bank of Kuwait. I have in my bank $36,400,000 that belongs to the late Mr. Ulo Jennings, who has the same surname as yours. And I need your cooperation to present you as next of kins. Send me your reply of interest for more." So I am about to inherit $36,400,000. So
from
you know
Ulo
what?
Jennings.
I might just from the late
the
Mr.
Late
Ulo,
Ulo
Jennings.
Sounds like and, a, does sound like a rock star, Ulo Jennings, or you know,
well,
or actor.
I'm sad he's gone, Glenn.
I am
I'm
too.
Really sad that I have family that has
him?
I never met him. I'm sad that you know what I can't believe is like Jennings is my married name. So this had to really pass by a lot of like blood relatives of Mr. Ulo, the late Mr. Ulo Jennings. And Kuwait is a really respectable place to give your bank account information.
Yes.
So I'm just going to call him.
Yeah, I think
I'm just going to call him.
I think you should.
I am sending my reply of interest.
You know, when these guys do this, you think they'd learn to spell and get the grammar correct.
I mean, like, who was like, "Oh my God, I am, I could be, there's money for me. I'm going to write back. I'm going to send my reply of interest." Like, who buys that?
I don't know.
Probably
you know, do you think, I was thinking about it when I saw you post this. I was thinking about it going, do you think they would have more people reply if it was a lesser amount? Because it, you know, 36 million just seems too much, right? So if it was like 423,000, do you think they would have more people reply? Because then you're going, well, you know, it's 400,000.
That could be logical.
It could be logical because that Ulo could have 400,000.
You know what? Let's Google Ulo Jennings and see if he is a rock star
or an actor.
Believe it or not, I cannot find an Ulo Jennings online. They said, did you mean Leo Jennings or Milo Jennings or Julia Jennings?
I think they came up with better names. All right. Haley Johnson said podcasts. This is what she's thankful for. She, our ex-intern who has now quit and got a real job, podcasts to make stall cleaning go quicker, a farm to live and learn on, an awesome lead tech who makes my work fun. She's a tech at a vet clinic, my new rescue dog who makes me laugh, and the best husband a horse gal could ask for, one who has stepped up to moving horses, feeding, hitching, loading the trailer, and doing all the dishes. Happy Thanksgiving. Was she doing that just to piss all the other wives off, do you think?
You know what? I mean, I can't say anything because my husband's kick-ass too.
Yes, he is. Both your husbands are, actually.
You are not my other husband. Just because your wife is gone, you can't say things like that.
You see, I can get away with anything because Jennifer's not here. Yeah.
Beth says that she's thankful for heat and heated seats in the car.
Well, it's simple. And it's probably really cold where Beth is. I'm guessing Michigan or New York. That's what I'm guessing.
Somewhere up there.
Let's do this. Let's head off and take a walk down a memory lane. Now, this is going to make you thankful for our current sound, which is much better than our past sound.
Please tell me you didn't edit out all the times you went, oh, sorry, wrong button.
No, I didn't edit anything except I tried to clean up the hissing and the spitting and the sound. So now it just sounds like, it sounds like you're a little closer to the radio station than you were before.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Yeah, so that it's a little bit better that way. But first, we're going to hear from our good friends over at Kentucky Performance Products, who are our sponsors for the day.
Joint Armor from KPP provides your horse with the building blocks necessary to maintain healthy joints throughout his lifetime. Kentucky Performance Products Quality Assurance provides you with the confidence that you are purchasing a safe, high-quality product. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Joint Armor is concentrated and affordable. One jar lasts a whole 75 days. Joint Armor helps maintain fluid motion and flexibility in your horse's joints. It also supports normal cartilage development and reduces joint deterioration. Learn more about Joint Armor from Kentucky Performance Products and all their other terrific products at KPPUSA.com. That's KPPUSA.com.
Hello, this is Karen from Kentucky Performance Products, wishing all the Horse Radio Network listeners, their families, and their horses a happy Thanksgiving. Just remember, the best part of Thanksgiving is after the meal is over. It's called leftovers and a nap. Enjoy your turkey day, everybody.
About this time, we're calling Horse Health Weekly with thehorse.com. And Christy West is joining us, and she is, I believe Christy's on. Christy, you're on the air. Welcome back.
I am here. It's good to be back.
And I think you have somebody. Well, we're great. We're talking all about winter today. And of course, in Lexington here, it's not going to be a very wintry day, thank goodness. But we're ready for your horse health report. And I understand you have someone on here with you, Doc, a veterinarian, correct?
I do. Joining us is Dr. Erin Denny Jones, who is the owner of Florida Equine Veterinary Services in Claremont, and she's also a former chairman of the Owner Education Committee of the AAEP, which is the American Association of Equine Practitioners, the Association of Equine Veterinarians in this country. Erin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Oh, good.
Good morning, Erin.
Good to have you here. Our topic today for the horse health segment is the crazy things horses eat, and I'm sure we all have some wonderful stories about that. But first, I'd like to let everyone get to know Erin a little bit. Erin, can you tell us a little bit about why you became a vet and what your practice is like?
I'll start with my practice because I don't like talking about myself very much. My practice is a 100% equine practice. It's mostly ambulatory. We do have a clinic facility that does some sports medicine and reproductive work out of the facility. And I've been owner of it for 15 years. I've been a practicing veterinarian for 18 years. I'm a University of Missouri graduate. Go Tigers. And I've just always had a love for animals, just like any other kid. And the horses really brought my attention more than the dogs and cats did over the years. And I haven't looked back since I was 15. So that's what I knew I was going to do when I was 15 and just kept going.
That's perfect. It's always good to know what you want to do early and to be doing exactly what you want to do. But how's it go if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life?
Yes. Very true. Very true. Okay.
So let's move on to our topic today, the crazy things horses eat. We did a poll on thehorse.com a little while back to just see what our readers could think of as far as the craziest things their horses had ever eaten and drunk. And we had a huge number of responses. We had everything from meat to alcoholic drinks. And I'm not sure if that says more about the horses or the owners. we've got fruits, vegetables. We've got in some strange things. My current favorite is the wedding ring. I don't know if anybody ever got that one back. That's a little bit scary. But I was hoping we could talk a little bit today about some of those things. And, if any of these things are safe for horses to eat, what you should do if your horse is eating one of these things that's maybe not so good. So let's start with the meats. We had several owners saying that horses ate anything from brats on buns with mustard to beef stew to chicken McNuggets, crawfish, fried chicken, stealing burgers off the grill, which is a whole other issue we won't get into. Anchovies on toast. What are your thoughts from a veterinary standpoint on horses eating meats?
Well, the first thing right off the bat is they're not going to get any nutritional value out of it. So horses are curious animals, and so they'll try about anything. And, you know, that's when they get into trouble is because they're so curious. And so they'll try any kind of somewhat good-smelling, good-tasting item you put in front of them, but whether they get any value out of it remains, you know, to their digestive system. Their system's set up for, just like a rabbit, just for, like, vegetative products going through, grasses, any other kind of greens, because they will ferment them, and then the fermentation process is what gives them the energies. So with the meats, that's a high protein, it's going to go in and go out. It's really not going to have much effect for them.
It's not bad for them.
No, not unless you probably got mad cow disease going on, or they've eaten large quantities of it. But usually, like I said, they're curious animals. One or two bites, not going to make a big deal to the horse.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay. What about any issues with things like some people said their horse had stolen fried chicken out of a bucket? I mean, what about bones?
Bones I'd be concerned about, yes. Definitely be concerned about any kind of sharp items that went in, and bones would be included in that. They probably, I hate to say it, they probably swallowed it whole. And then you have these concerns of choke when they swallow things like that whole, because there is some narrowing of the esophagus when it carries itself over the heart, and they can block it up in that area and start to choke.
Now, should I ask you a question here, Christy? Do you... at that point, if you know your horse has eaten, you know, a couple of fried chicken legs, if you know your horse has eaten that, is that a time to call the vet, or is it, you know, what then?
I'm assuming that's a question for me.
Yeah, sorry.
Yes. Yeah, that's all right, because you had said, Christy, I'm with her there. Yeah, it's always good to just at least give a heads up to your veterinarian to let him know what happened, and the vet may come out right away and go ahead and tube, is what we call it, tube the horse and pass a stomach tube down into the stomach and pass some mineral oil to help move that product along. We do that all the time when they get into the feed bins, grain overload, eat products they're not supposed to. There's one that was on your list, Christy. It was 20 pounds of cat food. I think I would have wanted to go out and see that horse and tube it with some mineral oil to help move that along, because that might have some residual problems of toxicities to the horse. So, and maybe they did. Maybe that person did have their vet out right away to take care of that. I've seen horses hog feed, chicken feed, those kind of things, and there can be some products. Some of those products are made with things in them that will cause problems to the horse's digestive system or cause toxicities, which can result in laminitis and colic.
Yeah, no, actually, a couple of those things you mentioned, I have had here. I've lived on my farm for 6 months, doctor, and two of those things have happened to me. The first, right out of the block, my horse decided that he could open the tack shed, go through the tack shed, and then go to the back where I keep the feed, and he proceeded to eat 30 pounds of Equine Senior. So that was a $400 to $500 morning that I didn't really want to have.
And you brought up a very good point. Is they're very nimble with their mouth and their lips. They can turn doorknobs, and they can flick handles. So what I always tell people is my system is a two lock system, and it's not two locks on one door. It's two barriers. So you put your feet into a barrier of some sort, something like with a padlock, but doesn't actually have to be a locked padlock, something that they can't flip the lid open, and then you have a lock on your door. So you have two barriers before they can actually get to that product that you don't want them to get into. And that includes chemicals for your fertilizing and your weed spreading in your yards and things like that.
The other thing my horse did, well, we have a pony and we also have a chicken coop. We only have four chickens, but my pony actually flipped open the chicken coop, got down on his knees, stuck his head in the chicken coop, and ate all of the chicken scratch that was in there, which was the most amazing feat of gymnastics ever done by a pony.
Yes. They are amazing, aren't they? They will do that. You're not the first story I've heard on that, getting down to their knees, getting underneath something. It's amazing.
Did he crow the next morning? That's my question.
Did he? Yeah. No, he did not. But I did have to watch him for colic because it's a pony and he ate at least 5 to 10 pounds. And I'm panicked about stuff like that. So he did not crow. He did not lay an egg, unfortunately. But we did have to move the coop and move the feed, and I've just cleared out everything that is within possible reach. We even moved the chicken coop out of the field.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that was probably the best prevention. Our best medicine is the prevention that you just did for that. And again, mine with the two barriers is the prevention. And I have to explain that to my clients because I'll say two lock system. Well, what it really is it's a two barrier system, not two locks on the door, because people, you know, they forget to do the locks. It just happened. It's human nature.
Or your horse takes off the entire lock, which is what the pony did, and the chicken coop by actually just removing the entire thing with his mouth, cutting his mouth in the process, and then eating all the chicken feed. So there is no limit to what they will do to get in to whatever they want to get into.
Absolutely.
They are creative. Well, in the somewhat in the theme of horses ending up on their knees, the next thing I had on my list to talk about was alcohol. If we had some of our readers that have fed their horses or their horses have gotten into anything from Captain Morgan and Coat to shots of hot damn to a whole pitcher of beer. Aaron, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, there's never been a study that has rated or had a horse blow into a breathalyzer to see what is their level. So I can't tell you what would be a toxic level for these horses, but it's usually just more done at a party, post-show celebration, at end of the day trail ride, and you're going to have a beer at the end of the day kind of thing. So usually they're not too threatening to the horse. And a lot of the stunt riders will do that as, you know, not necessarily is it beer when they're doing it in the show arenas and stuff, but they might have a can that says beer on the side of it. And their horse does have an affinity for it. But as far as being harmful to the horse, there's never been a case where a horse has gotten so toxic from those that they've had problems with the horse. They just, again, have an affinity for things that have a sweet taste to it, and then they're also very curious.
Okay.
In the 60 really Minutes episode, Zenyatta actually was caught drinking a Guinness every day. So that's not gonna hurt Zenyatta and her chances of racing by drinking a Guinness every day?
No. It actually might help her. The old tale is if you give dark beer, like a Guinness, to a horse, it will help them sweat better. We've tried that here in Florida for those that come down here and they shut down. They're sweating. And we've given them dark beers, and some it works on and some it doesn't. So that's probably one of the theories, is they're trying to keep her to sweat well by giving her the dark Guinness. So yes, we have been giving beers. I know of horses that have gotten pitchers of beers to help them with their sweating, and they have no side effects to it. Of course, some of them have sweated and some have not.
Well, we're speaking to Christy from The Horse, and we're speaking to Dr. Jones, who is from Florida Equine Veterinary Services. And we're talking about what the crazy things that your horse has eaten. And if you want to chype in on that, give us a call at 347-637-3238. Tell us what's the craziest thing your horse has ever eaten. Go ahead, Christy. I just wanted to invite people to give us a call.
People have wonderful stories. I'd love to hear some of them. But moving on from the alcohol, we've also had several people say that their horses had eaten wildlife. Dead birds that they'd found in the pasture, on occasion a live bird or mouse, I'm not quite sure how they got a hold of the live bird, but somehow that happened to happen. Goldfish out of a fish tank. Caterpillars,
what?
Which of course makes me think of Marilyn's syndrome in Kentucky a few years ago. Tell, Erin, have you heard of any of those?
Yes, I have. It's been, you know, more chance than anything else, like the goldfish in a bowl as they were drinking and it accidentally got sucked up. You know, it was a fish, basically. It wasn't the goldfish idea, but that's one of the stories I have. And then wildlife out in the field is, you know, they caught them and they had eaten something that was out in the field, out in the pasture, dead. It wasn't like they went straight to it. It just happened to be in their grazing path. So it's more chance. And a lot of times they're doing it now when you and I don't know about it, and they seem to be perfectly fine. But again, if they have excess amounts of certain dead things, there are some bacteria that that lie in those dead animals that could disrupt their gastrointestinal tract. And again, call in the vet if you do catch it. Say, hey, this happened. The vet may want to come out, just do an exam, make sure everything's fine, or just have you watch the horse, depending on what it is. The caterpillars, that was the most devastating for Kentucky. It still can be. People are being very cautious about the tent caterpillars and them eating them and causing the male reproductive loss syndrome. So it's not necessarily all gastrointestinal. It's the toxins that are released through the gastrointestinal system, through the blood, that can affect other parts of the body. Again, laminitis, the foundering in a horse, there's just those other things that can trigger bad sequelas. So again, any of those weird things that you've seen them eat, it's still best to run them by your vet. Some may be really concerning and some may be just watch and see.
Gotcha. And of course, on occasion, a dead mouse or something can get baled into the hay as well. Right.
Absolutely. I mean, there's always parts in those baled hays. People don't realize that it's out in the field and they bale it up and whatever's in the field comes. That includes weeds. We have a talk every year on toxic weeds, and people are saying, oh, I don't, you know, I fertilize my pasture and I do weed master on my pasture. Well, they don't realize some of the toxic weeds come through their hay and they look differently when they're
scorpions.
Dried out.
We get scorpions in the hay here. It's horrible.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. And then, of course, you have the blister beetle that everybody knows about in alfalfa, so you have to watch for those. But there are some things that can occur in hay. So when you swap out and have new batches of hay, it's always good to let the vet know if you have a colic incident that, yeah, you have a new batch of hay. Maybe it's something in that new batch of hay.
Good to know. All right, we also have a number of people who have had their horses eat various fruits, vegetables, anything from zucchinis to melons to onions to cherries and jalapeno peppers, or any particular fruits and vegetable things that people should watch out for and make sure to keep their horses away from.
Well, they one that's noted in most of the toxicology books is the avocado, but it has to be a large amount of avocado. And, of course, here in Florida, they'll eat the oranges and grapefruits off the ground because we have citrus groves that have been refurbished into pastures that some of the old fruit that falls down on the ground, they'll eat. And the problem with that is they will cause choke because they will block the esophagus and they aren't able to swallow anymore. So
Do they just not chew up the citrus? Is that where it causes a problem?
Yeah, they'll swallow whole, like the small tangerines and things like that. Yeah, you'd be surprised. Very surprised. It also happens in cattle, too. It's very concerning. Again, it's not just your colic that you'd worry about. It's a choke incident and something to that effect. So.
All right, I have a totally unnatural eating incident that I have a question about. We had a pony as a kid that I don't remember how it happened, but he ate a pair of gloves, little kids winter gloves. And the pony was fine. We never saw the gloves again, so we're assuming they came out in some way, shape, or form. But would it make a difference if the gloves were cotton versus polyester?
No, it won't make a difference there, but a glove would concern me. And this will go on to, and it was something Christy and I had spoken about earlier, is metal objects, but it can't even be baling twine, because they'll eat baling twine. So they've eaten rubber tires that people have turned inside out and made feeders out of up north that, you know, are great little solid feeders out in the field. They've eaten those rubber tires, and those things will cause colic. They create what we call a nidus, or a center that a bunch of more stuff can accumulate, stuff meaning dirt from the pasture down
like
here in Florida,
pearl,
sand.
Bad.
Yes, a pearl, same idea. And then we get what we call an enterolith, or a rock in the intestinal tract. Those are the most frustrating for veterinarians to diagnose, because they'll colic and then they get better. They colic and they get better. And it's because the rock rolls into a spot and makes them colic and it rolls out. and it rolls in and it rolls out.
Wow.
And those are when we see consistent colic in a horse over time. We start to think about that and find out if they eat anything unusual. Well, half the time they don't know. It's out in the pasture.
You don't even know they ate it, yeah.
Right, but we've seen hay nets in colic surgery. We've seen, like I said, the rubber tires in colic surgery, all sorts of unique things. And then those enteroliths, the rocks, those are the most fascinating because you can x-ray them and you can see the center if there's a metal object. A lot of times it's not. It's just a makeup of the pasture content that they have. It's a high chemical content and it starts creating the small rock and then the rock starts gathering more and more and more stuff over time. It doesn't necessarily have to start off with a metal object or any object. But a lot of times you'll see like a washer, a nail, roofing nail we've seen sometimes in the center of these, all sorts of interesting items.
What's
so
the, what's
a wedding ring might
thing?
Be in the middle of an enteroliths of a horse if they see it come back out.
What's the weirdest thing that you've seen? You're in Florida, so I imagine that you've seen some strange things. What is the weirdest thing that you've been called out to for a horse eating?
Oh, boy. I'd have to say the hay net.
Yeah.
The hay net was probably the most unique, yeah. And, you know, it was retrieved at colic surgery. And that was the smartest way to go for the horse. We didn't want to wait until it became an absolute emergency. But, yeah, the hay net. The hay net was it.
You know what? Us horse husbands hate hay nets with a passion anyway. So I say outlaw hay net. That's my...
Well,
that's my
nice hay nets are the ones that have the hole in the middle and they don't have the multiple openings all the way around, the actual net one. So the hay bags I like much better because they can't...
We're going to vote for her. All horse husbands of America officially like Dr. Jones right now.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I don't have hay nets in my barn.
Good. Well,
so, Dr.
Christy,
Jones,
do you
ride?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
You said you have horses. What do you do?
So, yeah, well, at the moment now I don't. I am in the process of raising a 2-year-old child. So my last horse left me right prior to that 2-year-old being born. So now I'm in the works of trying to get back on the horse again. But mostly I grew up with Western Pleasure and barrel racing. And now my interest is in eventing and dressage.
That's my girl.
Running the whole
I think I got another fan out there.
Was there any others on your list, Christy?
I have a couple others, but I know we're also running short on time. Probably the last thing I wanted to address is human snack foods, because we had a whole huge range of those, as you can guess. But one of the first things that a lot of people would ask about is whether the sugar in those snack foods for a horse that has Cushing's or metabolic syndrome or anything like that might be a concern.
Yeah, let's do that one, and then we'll wrap.
Okay.
Yeah, those would be concerned, but they'd have to, again, take large amounts, large quantities. Most of the time, the people are not feeding like a full bag of Doritos or a 6-pack or 12-pack of Pepsi. They're probably just doing a can or a little bit taste while they're eating, and those things aren't going to create too much harm.
Just like in a human, one tasty cake is fine, but a box full of tasty cakes, not so much.
Yeah, probably don't put the box of donuts out in front of their stall if you know they're going to be snatching it up, because you'll get left.
And that's what I was going to tell you. Is at a horse show, we left a whole table full of sandwich things. My horse ate an entire jar of pickles. So I guess that's okay as long as he doesn't get any more.
Or he doesn't get the jar itself, yeah. How did he get them out of the jar?
He knocked it over and ate every pickle and the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought a horse would eat a pickle, but he did. Well, you guys, thank you so much for joining us. Of course, the Horse Health Report, we've had Christy West from thehorse.com and Dr. Aaron Denny Jones, owner of Florida Equine Veterinary Service. And we'd love to have you back on, Dr. Jones, anytime. It was an absolute pleasure talking to you.
I've enjoyed my morning with you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Well, boy, that goes back memory lane. I hope we've gotten a little better about stepping on each other and things. Remember, this was 8 shows in.
And the audio was, we can talk over each other a little bit now and hear, because when you would talk, you couldn't hear.
Right.
With that system. And also, Jennifer, you know, we all kind of learned where we were supposed to be on the show. And Jennifer has learned that she hated talking.
Right.
And then finally she realized she didn't have to, because you and I talk enough.
Yeah. Oh, and I just got some listener comments. Oh, my God, a huge difference. So, yes, yeah. It was. It was a little different back then in the old days.
We were still amazing, though. That's funny. That was Dr. Jones's first episode, and we had her on for years.
She was on for years. But, you know, I was actually listening to it going, it was also our eighth episode doing a show live when we had never worked together before, but we were pretty good together. I was impressed.
We technically were doing the right things. You did resets. We did a good rap. Yeah. We need to really.
Boy, that's
do
all
those
gone down that tube
often.
Since then.
A reset is when we go, and we're talking with Dr. Jones right now, live on Horses in the Morning. Boom. And it's like, you know what? You clicked on the podcast. You read the names of who's there. Do we really have to do that?
Listen live, we would do it. But 99.99% of the people listen recorded, which is why we don't do it, because they've been in it since the beginning of the show. They knew who the guest was. So I think it gets repetitive on a podcast when you know everybody starting at the beginning, right?
The thing is, yeah, you know, in radio, you get in your car, you sit down, and you turn on your radio and you don't know who the heck's on. So they reset it all the time. And I know your podcasting dudes say we need to do that. But yeah. I mean, really, like, you guys know you can read.
Hey Jennifer.
Nobody's surprising us.
We are now the podcasting dudes. We determine what happens.
That's true.
That's right.
No reset.
That's right, Jamie. We're the bosses. Hey, Misty sent me a note during that and said, my horse once ate a live bird. I had to leave the barn.
Oh, my gosh.
What encourages a horse to do that? I don't know. I don't know what encourages them. Anyway, a couple of other things. First, before we get to Victoria. And she is confirmed, Jamie, by the way. Before we get to Victoria, I did want to mention a couple final thoughts about Radiothon. First, thank you. I'm so thankful for everybody. I finally finished processing all the voicemails into packages and getting all the sound ready for Radiothon. And I'm thankful for everybody that's participating in it, everybody that sent in the voicemails. You're all entered into the contest all entered in for the prize drawings all day long now. The only other way you can be entered into the prize drawings for $4,200 worth of stuff and some amazing prizes is to call that day. You just have to give us a call, even if you don't get on the air. If you do, it's great. We'd love to hear from you. But if you don't, if the line's too long or whatever, Jennifer will write your name down and your information down, and you'll be added to the list. And then all day long, we'll be pulling prizes. So we would love to hear from you about your fantasy ride or your holidays. We just love to talk to you. So if you want to do that, the phone number is going to be at holidayradiothon.com. Just remember holidayradiothon.com. The schedule's there. The phone numbers are there. The prizes are there. Everything's at holidayradiothon.com. That's also how you listen live. You can listen live on your phone. And I'm going to give this warning again because I do not want a bill in the mail. If you're listening on your phone for 12 hours to the live button on our app, just search for Horse Radio Network in the App Store. It's free. It's easy. There's a live button, and you can stream our show all day on your phone. But if you do that, be connected to Wi-Fi. I do not know how many millions of gigabytes of data you're going to use streaming 12 hours of a radio show. I don't know.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Make sure you're connected to Wi-Fi. It's going to use your plan for sure. So make sure you're connected to Wi-Fi. If you don't have the ability to connect to Wi-Fi and have to only listen on your phone, the recorded version is going to be out on Tuesday, so you can listen to all 12 hours recorded. And you'll only be a day late, so don't worry about that. Let's see, what else? Is there anything else for Radiothon? We're really excited about the guests. They've all confirmed, so I think we're good there. Somebody asked me, sent me a message this morning, which guests are my look more most looking forward to? And I have to say that I think I am, and I'm not even going to be involved in this interview, I don't think, but Martin Clunes and Monty Roberts together.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so looking forward to that because I don't know what's going to happen. You know, Monty doesn't follow a script. So it's going to be interesting to see when him and Martin, who have been friends for years, as I understand it, and Martin Clunes, of course, is the actor with Doc Martin over on BBC and is very well known in England, one of the top actors in England. And he has horses. He has a couple of Clydesdales, and he's learning what to do, drive his Clydesdales and stuff. But he also has that show, Horsepower. Is it Horsepower?
Yes.
Yes.
Horsepower.
So he has that show Horsepower that's on Netflix and other places that you can find. But I don't know. What are you? Who are you? You saw the lineup. If you have to take your special first guest out of the picture. You know.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've already recorded ours. Yeah. So I got to say, Debbie has just stacked up the hour that she has. And she has Nick Rolden coming on.
And it's, for anybody who doesn't know, for the two women in the audience who don't know, can you explain who that is?
Nick Rolden is, well, I'd say he's beautiful, but he's a polo player. So that's like without saying, right? I mean, he's beautiful and he's a polo player. And let me see, I'm trying to Google him right now so I can look at him while I talk about him. And he does a lot of work with the Brook, which is one of our favorite charities for sure. He's from Buenos Aires.
We have to call him down there, actually.
Argentina, really?
We have to call him, and he's going to be in Argentina on Monday.
And, you know, he's like one of those model polo players, too.
There's very few guys who look really good in tweed coats. I saw a picture of him. They posted a picture of him in a tweed coat jacket, you know, like a sports jacket. There's very few guys that can pull that off. This guy can pull that off. Yeah.
Let me just say that if you are an Argentinian, number one, you're beautiful. You're an Argentinian polo player. You're epically beautiful. And then not only are you an Argentinian polo player, you've been the captain of the polo team that Prince Harry was on. Wait, I'm a model. Oh, he's a model too. So he actually has taught polo to the Kardashians. Okay. I mean, like, he's the who's who. By the way, he is dating Jessica Springsteen.
Yeah. Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. Oh, you know what's funny? Okay, so I just searched Nick Rolden. And by the way, for the ladies, that's R-O-L-D-E-N. I just searched...
D-A-N.
D-A-N. I'm sorry. I just searched Nick Rolden. And you know how Facebook puts on the right all the pictures and then a little bit about him? Well, underneath it, it also puts people also search for Jessica Springsteen was the first one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See?
And then Nacho Figueres. How do you say his last name? The other
Figueroa
was second there. So,
yeah,
and then some other hot polo guy.
And
Adolfo
Nick has even
Cambrosio.
Nick has posted on his page that he's going to be a part of the radiothon.
I saw
did you
that.
Know that.
Yeah, I thought that was amazing. Very cool that he did that. That's very cool.
I'm sure it was him.
Do you want to take my place for that hour? You want to sit in?
Oh, my God.
I could take an hour off. I'll probably need it by the point of the day.
Hells yes, I'll take that hour. What time is it?
They're on 1 o'clock. Oh, I have it on my wall. I have them all printed out on my wall now because I couldn't remember. They're on 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern.
So I'm going to co-host this with Debbie?
Well, sure, if you want to.
Monty, Nick, and Martin?
Sure, why not?
I'm in.
I'm really going to need an hour off at some point during the day.
I'm in. So. I'm in. Oh, my God. I'm going to talk to Nick Rolden. See, you shouldn't have asked me.
I am giving up Martin Clunes, who I think is kind of cool, for you to talk to Nick. All right. Now, I have to get approval from Debbie first. So let me get. She might say,
damn.
No, I don't want that wacko woman on my show.
Jim, never mind.
You're out. Let's call Victoria.
Oh, my God. I'm nervous now.
This is kind of fun without Jennifer here.
You better watch it.
She's in the other room. She yelled, I heard that. She's just loaded her horse. That's funny. We have no notes from Victoria, so we are going to wing it.
Because she sends them to Jennifer.
Yeah, that's right.
What are we going to talk about today? I don't know.
I don't know. Let's hope she's here or the show is going to be over early because, oh, there she is. Hi, Victoria.
I'm here. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We're a day before a holiday, so we're kind of just feeling, you know, punchy and like, you know, not real serious about anything. So how are you?
I feel left out because we don't have Thanksgiving because I could be wrong, but don't you guys celebrate Thanksgiving because you got rid of us?
Yeah. That would be part of it, yes. All right.
I'm glad you're here. Chidon,
mic drop. She's done. Bye, Victoria.
That's a much better way to think about it than the way I think about it, which is this is the day we took over a country and took all the indigenous people and killed them all. No. This is the day
In essence, it was the British's fault that we were here in the first place. So...
Yeah, okay. We'll take the blame.
I think all of our history is a little terrible, so we'll just go with yours. I like yours.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, ours too. Ours has got a few thousand years more of terrible things.
Yeah, you guys had taken over like 1,000 countries over the years, so...
Indeed. And then we had to hand them all back slowly, so we don't have many left.
Oh, there was that period of time the Romans got really pissed at you and took yours over, but that was the only one I can remember.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Them and the Vikings. But I think we need a kind of pre-Christmas holiday, because you guys kind of have Thanksgiving, and then it's only a month later to Christmas, whereas we've got nothing from summer to Christmas. There's just nothing exciting happening.
Well, you know what? And you guys got starting on the crappy weather. You really do need something to forget the weather that's happening.
Yeah, it's grim. It's rainy and cold, and it'll be like this till March. Never mind.
Why do you live there, by the way? I'm just checking.
Oh, I don't know. I ask myself that all the time.
You know, you like visiting America. You could just move here. We'll take you. We take everybody else.
I don't have an American holiday planned this year, which I'm blaming Nick for. So he's not taking me to America. I feel very left out.
Well, where are you going? Are you going anything? Any other place exciting?
I've got not got anywhere planned. No holidays.
Honeymoon's over, girl. Time to dump him. Yeah, get a new one.
I've not even had one of those either. So, yeah.
Oh, jeez. All right, Jamie, please take over. I'm not helping here.
You're terribly depressing, Glenn.
I'm taking us down a rabbit hole. Let's start over. Hi, Victoria. How are you today?
Hi. I'm great, and the weather is lovely. Thank you.
Y'all are so sweet. Aw. So, Victoria, aside from beautiful, sunny, warm weather and the promise of future holidays, what else is happening over there in Europe with the European Report on Horse and Country TV?
Yeah, let's do some headlines. So Carl Hester has been given an award, which I'm hoping is a precursor to him getting a knighthood. I'm convinced he's going to get a knighthood in this year's Queen's Birthday Honours or New Year's Honours or whatever it is. And but he's been made the first honorary patron of British dressage, which you kind of think he pretty much deserves that, considering he's pretty much single-handedly transformed British dressage and turned us into an Olympic gold medal winning team. So fair play to Carl Hester.
That's amazing. I mean, he really has. How amazing would Vallegro have been without Carl Hester?
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. I mean, would he have even been picked out? He was gelded because I don't think he passed the stallion grading. I think he only sold for three. I know, it's hilarious, isn't it? I bet they're kicking themselves now. He sold, I think, for 3,000 euros or pounds, which is just nothing considering what he's gone on to achieve. And Carl obviously spotted his potential, and you know he would have played a big part in his training at the beginning. But I think he found him such a big mover and such a strong horse that Charlotte got given the ride instead. And obviously he's made them into this dream partnership. But I mean, if you look back at the last couple of years of Olympic teams, he was based with the Bechtolsheimer, so he helped with Laura's career in the early days. He is Charlotte's protege. She's his protege, and he trained Spencer Wilton, and he trained Fiona Bigwood, who's on the Olympic team this year. So he pretty much trained the entire Olympic team while also riding on the team. He's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Now, I saw an article on Horse and Country TV that said, could Charlotte and Carl have the next Vallegro in their yard? This is very Daily Mail. Okay, tell me what's going on.
Yeah, I didn't write that. I guess with Vallegro bowing out on a high, you do have to wonder, like, it's all very well that we've had this amazing period of winning gold medals, but what next? But Carl and Charlotte are both pretty confident that they do have the next one waiting in the wings. We had another article with Carl around the time of Horse of the Year show, and he said that both him and Charlotte had potential superstars among their ranks. So we hope that he's got one, but I can't see. I think Velegro is a once in a generation horse, so I'll be surprised if they ever get one as good as him again.
Yeah, absolutely. But you can dream. Yeah, it was just like one of those clickbaits, like click on this. Oh my God, Velegro's next person, horse.
Yeah, we've got a run of articles about Carl and Charlotte coming up, and they're all a bit like that. So, yes, it's like a slight new direction.
Hey, whatever gets the people excited.
Exactly.
I understand. So what else you got?
So we have news this week on the website about a charity race, and I don't know if you guys talk much about it, but there was a girl over here called Hannah Francis, who was a young event rider who got diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she had cancer, and she unfortunately lost her battle against cancer earlier this year, and she achieved all these amazing things, including setting up her Wilbury Wonder Pony charity, and one of her dreams that she had before she died was to have a charity race named in her honour. And so they're running a charity race next year at Cheltenham, which is the most famous jump racing track in Britain, and they're inviting 6 normal riders to apply to take part, and those people get to compete against top riders like Nick Skelton, Tina Cook and Ben Hobday. So if you've ever kind of wanted to take them on, and I presume you can apply from anywhere around the world as long as you can get yourself to Cheltenham and also have a horse to ride, and you could be racing against the Olympic gold medalist Nick Skelton.
I'm in. Whatever I have to do.
How much is it going to cost to ship Zeus over there? How much is that going to cost you? Your Mustang?
Doesn't matter. You know what? I'll use Victoria's horse.
There you go.
Yeah, she's a racehorse. There's a reason she was retired.
Well, that might be perfect for Jamie, actually. That's a perfect combination, man.
And I suspect, because I don't know if you guys know, but Nick Skelton's son is a trainer and his younger son is a jockey. So he's blatantly going to be getting the best horse on the yard to ride, because I can't imagine Nick's just going to do it for the experience. He'll be in it to win it.
Well, Nick had a good year this year, and I don't even know if Jamie knows this yet, but it was just announced yesterday that he received the top award from the FEI this year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, he's won the Best Athlete Award, which I think is very well deserved. I mean, it's hard, obviously, when you've got people like Charlotte who are winning everything, but just his story is incredible, isn't it? You know, in his late 50s, having had a broken neck, having retired, and he's basically only got one top horse. And with that top horse, he's won individual gold and team gold 4 years ago. And after his performance in Rio, I can't think of anyone more deserving.
Yeah, congratulations to him. It was very cool. And that's like the biggest FEI award of the year, right? It's kind of like the Oscars.
Yeah, it doesn't get much better than that. So definitely.
Well,
definitely,
and I want to throw it out there too. Didn't I read that his groom, who's very popular around the circuit, Mark Beaver, didn't I read that he won the best groom too?
I think he might have done. I might need to go and check the winners.
Yeah, I think he did.
Again,
I think I read that he got the best groom award. He's very popular and people seem to like him. And so he got the best groom award, which I'm really thankful every year that they do that award, actually.
Yeah, it's really good. And actually, he's kept quite a low profile, I think, until Rio. And then you suddenly saw him crying over Big Star, and he became kind of known in the equestrian world. And it's nice when that happens. You know, he's worked for Nick for years and suddenly he's become known in his own right.
And you'll never guess who won the kind of the country award, Jamie. Take a guess which country won it's called the FEI Solidarity Award. And it's kind of for the country that they recognize. Take a guess. Any guess? Anybody?
What do they recognize for?
Just doing good things and, you know, in the sports and equestrian stuff.
Not the U.S. Let's go with Europe.
How about we go with Morocco? The Moroccan National Federation.
I was next. I was going to guess that name.
It was on your list, wasn't it?
I'm surprised it wasn't the United Arab Emirates, to be fair. But less said about that, the better.
Yeah, the less said about that, the better.
Congratulations to us.
Moving on. Boy.
Well,
Oh, well, okay. Hey, Victoria,
I don't know if you know, but this is like a really big deal that this is probably my last show because I was telling Glenn that I just got a message and maybe it's from the UAE, Glenn. I just got $36 million belonging to a late distant relative of mine. And this person from the National Bank of Kuwait wants to give me that money.
That's amazing. How exciting. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. It's from Ahmad El Ablani. He wants to send me this money that is in my family. And it's funny because El Ahmad Al Ablani looks like some of the names that are in this Against All Odds Moroccan team.
There could be a connection. They're splashing money around.
President
the horse
of
like that.
The
Maybe
Royal.
Maybe they do deserve an award.
Yes, the president of the Royal Moroccan Federation for Equestrian Sports is Moulay Abdallah Elouani. Oh my God, they're like the same person.
They're like brothers.
All right, then surely if somebody was leaving money, then they'd leave it to their nearest relative instead of somebody from America they might have heard on the radio once.
That's so the magical part.
Oh, well, that's lovely. Well, I'm quite surprised you're leaving, though, Jamie. I thought, you know, even though that you're a multi-millionaire, that you'd still be dialing in every day and going to work. Surely.
You know what? I'll give you a call maybe every other Wednesday.
Yeah, I was actually surprised at that too, but I chose not to bring it up, Victoria.
Oh, Victoria, thank you so much for coming on. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. And
thank you. I shall have some turkey. That's what you do on Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Go out and get some belly turkey. You're fine. You'll be good.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe some cranberries and you're good to go.
Good news is your man can watch some football, so that's all they do around here.
He watches football incessantly. I've decided that he just disappears between September to January, and it's not fair because if we don't have Thanksgiving, I don't think we should have NFL.
Okay, why'd you have to bring him up again? This did not go well when we brought him up at the beginning of the show.
he's also listening to this show, so I have to be careful.
Oh, no.
He's loitering.
What's his name? Nick. It's Nick, right?
Nick.
I got to tell you, Nick, you have we've been with you now, what, for 5-6 years? And every week for 6 years, she's absolutely delightful and lovely. And I don't know what you're waiting for. Put the darn ring on it. Have the honeymoon next year. And let's get it done because we'll come over. We'll come over for the wedding. If we're invited, that is. But we'll come
over anyway.
He said,
leave me alone. he had the same panic look on his face that he did earlier when I said that Thanksgiving was a celebration of getting rid of the British. So he holds them about equal, I think.
I'm guessing
it's a horrifying thing.
I'm guessing that next time we talk to Victoria, she's going to be single and living on her own. And
yes, possibly. But as long as I get the dog, I don't mind. I think when Nick and I met, within 6 months, he'd given me Rosie and my thoroughbred. So that's a pretty cool present. So I think Rosie basically has taken the place of a ring.
Yes, right. Hold on. Didn't Rosie try to repeatedly kill you for a long time?
No, she's always been pretty good.
Okay, that was the other one.
That was the other one.
Yeah, she's pretty sensible. My yard manager took her out for a ride the other day with her youngster because she said she wanted Rosie to act as a nursemaid, which I thought was quite funny that my 7-year-old racehorse is now the nanny of the yard. So yeah, she's pretty good. Anyway,
the nanny. She's the nanny. That's so cute.
She is the nanny.
That's great. All right, Victoria,
I need to go and apologize to Nick now. Good to chat to you.
Sorry.
Just tell him how thankful you are that he's in your life. That's and buy him. Some
I will do.
And then go out and get a turkey sandwich, and you'll be fine.
Just go have sex with him. He'll be fine.
The show is definitely taking a turn to the unexpected.
Bye, Victoria.
I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Maybe, if we're lucky.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, bye.
She's never coming back.
We say that every time, and she just keeps coming back. I don't know why. You just totally, like, railroaded her boyfriend, okay?
Nothing went well in that whole thing. She was in a mood today, boy. All right.
As long as I get to keep the dog, I'll be fine.
She made some really snarky comments on that one.
and they kind of got glossed over, but I heard that one.
Yeah.
Now, I want to read this story because you posted it, and I just, you know, there's a big movement called hashtag opt out, and that is for you, instead of Black Friday shopping, to opt outside, to go outside and do something. And I want people to really think about that, because you have a story here that is the number of people who have died while Black Friday shopping.
Yes.
And this comes from the cheerfully titled website, BlackFridayDeathCount.com. What on earth? Where are you Googling before the show for information? BlackFridayDeathCount.com?
I know. I couldn't believe it existed either.
I gotta visit it. I can't help it.
Well, there have been a lot, haven't there? Actually, 9 people have died since 2006, and 90 have been reported injured since 2006. A reported 59 people have been injured while Black Friday shopping at where else? Walmart.
It had to be Walmart.
While Toys R Us and Kohl's are next, actually, in the injury count. I can picture all three of those. I would have probably guessed Kohl's, maybe not, but I would have pictured Toys R Us and Walmart. But Kohl's is right up there. People across the country have been shoved, stabbed, trampled, pepper sprayed, and shot while shopping on the day after Thanksgiving. That makes you want to go to Amazon.com, doesn't it?
Cyber Monday, baby. Cyber Monday. So if you go to BlackFridayDeathCount.com, they have basically the year and then the headline of the injury or the incident. And here's the first one. Thanksgiving shopper hit by car while missing a Walmart.
Oh, that's in Pennsylvania. Black, I grew up near there.
Wyomissing.
Wyomissing near Reading. Yep.
Black Friday brawl at Kohl's in Tustin ends with 3 arrests. Kohl's bringing it strong. Let's see. Shoppers pepper sprayed and arrested in an argument over a TV at a New Jersey Walmart, which one injury was sustained. Thanksgiving bargain day shoppers send 11-year-old to hospital.
I was in Walmart yesterday. The TVs are so cheap now. I mean, they used to be $1,000 to get a flat screen TV, right? For any size.
Yes.
And now, yeah, $120. You got yourself a 32-inch. It's so cheap now. Hey, okay. Close the website, BlackFridayDeathCount.com. You're getting morbid on us, because I have another exciting story for you. You're on that line, according to data from Tinder, does everybody know what Tinder is? Do I need to explain Tinder? We think we got that. Thanksgiving weekend is typically a hotbed for hookups, with more people swiping and matching each other than any other non-holiday weekend. There were more than 2.3 billion swipes in the U.S. during Thanksgiving weekend last year, and overall there were 17 million matches.
So Tinder is a website app, basically, that you go on there and you're like, hey, I'm looking. And
can
somebody
I
else
clarify
is like,
that I know nothing about Tinder, and I don't know how it works, because I've never downloaded it to my phone or ever looked at it. But from what
Chad's right here, and he can tell us what the swiping thing is. Okay. Can you just tell everybody?
Oh, you're giving me way too much credit. No.
Chad, how do you know what
I don't
the
know
Tinder
if it's left or right. There's too much
is?
Pressure. Left is hot. Right, you're not. I can't remember.
Okay, left is hot. Right, you're not. So you can swipe whether
you
people
actually,
are hot or not.
You see pictures come up, and then I understand it. You see pictures come up, and I could have this totally wrong. And then if you like somebody, they look hot. You swipe, and then they're contacted, and then you meet up, and it's mainly to have.
They're contacted, but they go, "Hey, you like me? I like you."
Like
and then
you.
They
Let's
go,
"Let's get together
either,
tonight and have
like
sex," which
or,
is pretty much what that in the sport. It's sex on the
My brother
date.
Met his last girlfriend on Tinder.
Really?
So proud.
Did it last a month?
They dated for like 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. But then This is going to shock you.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Then she got pregnant by some other guy. So oh, there it broke you go. Them up.
I have a listener who is typing it. I'm not going to say her name in case she is married and doesn't want this to get out. But she said, left is not, right is hot.
So left is right.
Left hot is not. Left is not. Right is hot. Apparently, that's
left
how you remember.
Left is not, right is hot. You were right, baby. How yeah. the hell do you know? We're going
to
have a talk.
Well, you want to hear the cities with the most people, you know, getting together to do the wild thing on Thanksgiving? Baltimore was number one. Bunch of lonely people in Baltimore. New York was
freaking freezing. They get outside.
New York was number two. And then the third one surprised me. The other ones are kind of, I would have guessed. Provo, Utah was number three.
What?
Yes, I know. Isn't that like Mormon capital of the world? Don't they already have like seven wives? I don't know. But Provo, Utah.
Well, hell, they're bored. They're allowed to go find more wives. Swipe away.
You're right. Mormons. Most of these are cold, though. Chicago, Boston, Minneapolis, Kansas City, Portland, Detroit, Seattle. Most of those are cold.
Very northern, yeah, because they don't want to spend the time to get dressed and go outside. You got to get all dressed up, go outside, look around.
The listener just said, I'm not married, so it's all good.
Fantastic.
Anyway, so if you're lonely over the weekend, Tinder is the place to be. This was last year. Tinder wasn't even that popular. Imagine what it's going to be this year. There's going to be like 30 million people. Of those 17 million matches, how many do you think were married?
None, Glenn, because people take those vows very seriously.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
How dare you?
I apologize. Yep. So there you go. That was my Tinder, which was a little less dark than BlackFridayDeathCount.com.
I can't, you posted it.
All right, let's be done with this day. So that's it for today. There's no show tomorrow. No show at all. None. Tomorrow or Friday. And then we'll be back for 12 hours live on Monday. We just have to say one word before we leave. To be honest, because I forgot earlier, we want to thank Ovation for being a sponsor of our shows. And I think Ovation helmets would be perfect for your Christmas buying needs over the weekend. Don't you? I think they'd be a good choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, put it on your list. Does OvationRiding.com, the website, have one of those wish lists, like where you like make a registry or something? Because if they don't, they should.
I don't think
where you can go, here's my shopping cart, honey, and they send the link to them, because some of their stuff, I mean, all of their stuff is gorgeous, but some of their stuff I just want so bad and I want it now.
Oh, you know what I just noticed? They're doing a giveaway too. Like, we're not giving enough stuff away. You can go to ovationriding.com and they have a giveaway right now that goes through November 30th. So get in soon. They're going to be giving away the Ovation Blizzard boots for all of you that live in the north. Those are really, really nice. And Blizzard full chaps. So you get the boots and the full chaps. So check those out. The Blizzard boots are really, really nice. I actually had a pair of those when I lived in Lexington. Don't need them so much down here anymore. But when I lived in Lexington, a pair of those. Those are really
nice. You know what I'm going to get for Christmas is Lucas. They have Ovation Child Heart and Horse Half Chaps. Oh, my God. Could you see my little man in little half chaps?
I could see that. But
they have blue ones and brown ones.
Please don't take pictures of him in it and then show him when he's like 16 because he'll be running away from home.
You know what I'll do is I'll take a picture of him because he won't wear them unless he's probably totally naked. So that will be his yearbook photo. Is my boy in his half chaps with nothing else on. These are promises mothers can make, Glenn.
Oh, I have to read one more to you. Okay, where did this one go? I hope I pasted this one in here because it was so good. I didn't. I wanted to read one more listener one to you because you would have laughed. You would have laughed so much at it. I'm sorry I don't have it.
Go to ovationriding.com and look at their Ovation Fashionista belts. They're like horses jumping over the jump is the belt buckle. So it's cool. Like very anti-Western. If you take it, it's like this is our response, Western riders. It's not even expensive. $29.95. Click in the shopping list.
All right. OvationRiding.com. Thank you so much for your support.
Oh, my God.
And Ann just posted in the auditor page, sweet God, I just Googled Nick Rolden. I'm thankful for Jamie for telling us about this guy. She says, auditor meet up in Argentina, anyone?
Vámonos, amiga! Vámonos.
All right, everybody. We will see you 12 hours live starting 9 a.m. on Monday. Join us for the whole day. We're very excited to bring it to you. See you, Jamie.
All right.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Eat some tofurkey.
Except for the British. We're sorry.
Their fault. Sorry to the indigenous people.